It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
You watch Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team, hey man. Throw bombs, he on my team. Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team, hey man. Hey, that's fun. Hey, oh, that's my dog. Hey, this is the NFL, man. Hey,
keep me entertained, dog.
You watch Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team, hey man. Throw bombs, he on my team. Tom Brady throw bombs, he on my team, hey man. Hey, that's fun. Hey. Oh, that's my dog. Hey, this is the NFL, man. Hey,
keep me entertained, dog.
It's fun, man. Just
keep me entertained all day.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Give us a call at 617-779-0985. You can watch us on twitch.tv. Number's a little low on twitch.tv. Thought they were going to be super high now. So you get in on that. You can get the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Listen to the podcast, listen to live shows, listen to the live radio station, read all of the articles, all those things, all that good stuff right there. And here we go. Last night, I'm sure a lot of people watched that debate. And it was, oh, by the way, Aqib Tlaib, the reason that was played is Aqib Tlaib is going to join us at 8 o'clock this morning for the first time.
The debut of his weekly segment. I'm looking forward to this. He was on the very, very short list of people that we really wanted. I mean, like top three. If any of us could have written down the three guys, like ex-players that we'd want, Aqib Tlaib was on it, and our program director made it happen. So this will be great, 8 o'clock, and he'll be here every Wednesday. Hopefully he's got a better appearance record than sometimes Merriweather did, which was tough to get a hold of.
Yeah, that would
be nice.
Merriweather can't do it right now, no.
No, he can't, but at least, and we love Merriweather, and people were asking, you know, what happened with Brandon. Brandon just, he couldn't do it this season, and, you know, we reached out. We love Brandon. It's nothing about him. But at least we have Aqib's phone number. I think that for a while, I don't think we even have Brandon's number, did we? We just had to rely on him to call us. Wasn't that the case?
Yeah, I don't have it. Brandon reached out. I think I have it now. Brandon reached out when I went to the Habs, so good for you, Brandon.
Yeah, he is. We eventually ended up getting it because, you know, he, you know, after what, a couple years of doing it, he realized that we weren't going to prank him or anything like that. I don't know why we didn't get his number in the first place, but we do have Aqib's, so that's good. So the batting average on this one should be a lot higher.
Right. So last night, I'm sure a lot of people watched the debate there, and it was not funny. So that's what's going on with that.
Well, the biggest disappointment of the night, and according to all of our listeners, no farts on stage that I could hear. And I know that that was something that I was listening very intently for, but we did not get to have any kind of flatulence on the far left or the far right up there.
No, it was a sad, sad thing. Anxiety, a lot of anxiety coming out of that. Just not good. So that's what's going on. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to wear a Fred Perry shirt again. Gavin McGinnis, who, if you don't know, Trump told the Proud Boys to step back and stand by. That's the quote, step back and stand by.
Like, he was asked to denounce white supremacy. And he goes, well, what do you want me to say? And he goes, you know, like, white supremacist groups. Like, who? And he goes, Proud. He goes, I want the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by.
Right. So, and obviously that's disturbing. And what the Proud Boys are is very interesting because Gavin McGinnis, if you're aware of Vice Media, Vice Media started with Vice Magazine, which was based in Montreal and then moved to Brooklyn. And Vice Magazine was fantastic. It has given us a tremendous amount of talent has come out of their ranks. And Gavin McGinnis was the funniest out of all of them. He was best known as his do's and don'ts, which he would take street photography, or people would send him pictures of people on the street, and he would humorously either support what they were wearing or make fun of what they were wearing, and it was great. And he had an autobiography that was really good, and he's really smart and really funny, and Vice was this really subversive in a kind of cool way magazine, and it kind of created Williamsburg, for better or for worse. It kind of made it a hipster enclave, which I'm sure a lot of people are annoyed by, but it did that. But then Gavin McGinnis was on, I'm fully aware of how this all came about with the Proud Boys, but he was on Compound Media, which was Anthony Cumia's his media thing that he's got going on. And I don't know quite how it started, but Gavin McGinnis became a figurehead for the Proud Boys. Now, he has said he quit in 2018, but now the Proud Boys is apparently this far-right white militant organization that sports Fred Perry black shirts with gold trim. And as I've said before, Fred Perry shirts were a long-time symbol of skinheads before they were known as being Nazis, and, you know, the ska scene in the UK, which was all about racial equality, and it was the beginning, it was the bringing together of working class whites and the West Indian immigrants from the West Indies that were prevalent in Britain, and it was the two groups coming together. So it was a symbol, actually. It became a symbol. Obviously, Fred Perry was a very successful tennis player, but it became a symbol of racial unity even for decades. And now that has been co-opted by the Proud Boys. So it's the whole Gavin McGinnis. I used to have Gavin McGinnis on my show in Atlanta once a week, and he was great. He was certainly controversial in things, but he never in any way, shape, or form to me came off as being, you know, a racist or anything like that. And it's just fascinating that someone who I sort of know, you know, I'm not friends with him. I've, you know, had never gone out to eat with him, but someone I sort of knew became a leader of a fascist group that the president name-checked last night. So that's a little bit of a mind effer. So that is going on. So last night was just anxiety inducing. It was just something that I was turned off and went to bed and had trouble sleeping. It was something that is not good.
Well, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's gotten to the point where you need to put the two candidates in a booth and you need to have a countdown clock, and the mics need to be shut off when their time is done. And when one person is talking, the other mic can't be on. And you just put them in these like two soundproof booths. Like, I'm going to ask you a question. Here's your 2 minutes to answer it. And then while the other guy is talking, your mic is off. Because that's all it was yesterday.
I don't know if that's even a good idea, because then you can have Trump spouting off a bunch of garbage and there's no rebuttal to it.
Yeah, there's no clean way to do this. There isn't. I mean, just the dynamic between the two candidates was awful last night. And both guys are to blame, but it...
No.
Oh, well...
Mm-hmm. Not
well,
really. Not John. That's not... Now's not the time. No. Both candidates were not to blame last night.
Okay.
It was not that case. It's not the time to try to appease anyone. If you watched the debate last night, it was clear cut. There's not a... There's no conversation.
I guess my point was it was not good to watch, and you got the feeling you had wasted your time after it was done.
It was just anxiety-inducing and sad. It was just what it's become. And the whole Proud Boy thing is, I don't know how it all kind of came up, and the only reason I knew about it was I went to a punk show with my son a couple years ago and had on a Fred Perry shirt that was black with gold trim and took a picture and put it up on social media. And a couple of people were like, dude, I wouldn't wear that right now. It's been co-opted by this neo-fascist group. Yeah. And I went, oh, well, great. Now I got to throw away a, you know, $80 shirt. So.
Well, as I said, I read like an interview with one of the heads of the Fred Perry leisure wear company, you know, the athletic wear company.
They're fantastic.
And they're pissed. Like, they're just like, they took something that we've took, you know, all of these years to brand and it's been a success. Well, and all of a sudden, it's now a symbol for like racism.
I know. Branded in a, like, they got so lucky because it was branded. They didn't, like, you know, Fred Perry, the tennis player, didn't say, hey, like, punk guys and ska guys, start wearing my stuff and get tattoos of the emblem, you know, get tattoos right. of the emblem. Like, you know, right. they didn't. And so it became this thing where they were selling all these clothes. And then when the Proud Boys co-opted it, they've tried everything. I mean, they've had every race and gender under the sun wearing that shirt. And I mean, just
in a statement posted on their website, it said Fred Perry says, quote, it does not support and is no way affiliated with the Proud Boys. And it is incredibly frustrating that this group has appropriated the black, yellow, twin tipped shirt and subverted or laurel wreath on their ends. That's like, do you remember, I think it was after Charlottesville, that the Tiki Torch Company had to come out and say, we in no way support white supremacy. Wow. And we just want you to have fun in your backyard with our tiki torches.
Well, the Tiki Torch Company had the balls to say that they didn't support it. Well, that's good.
Well, I mean, No,
because other people don't have the balls to say they don't support it. Torch Company was more concerned about the backlash of being associated with the white supremacists in Charlottesville than our president.
It's like, can you imagine that, having something you've worked your whole life to have this brand, and then just like the worst people steal it and go, oh yeah, this is our symbol now.
And I wonder, and I wonder if McGinnis is like sitting, I wonder how he feels, because I don't know, and I'm not saying, I don't like know him like that, and I haven't spoken to him or really heard from him in years, or like even, you know, through media or whatever. And, I just wonder how he, like, this morning feels about something that he created. And
well,
I
they
know,
are right now on
but
social
I don't think
media
he's, I don't
using
think he's
that
in it.
As their... Well,
but that's what the... No, I know how the Proud Boys
I think
Boys
he is.
Feel.
I think he is
okay,
still
so
associated
Okay, so he is
with
still
it.
Associated with it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, from I mean, I know
the New York
recently...
Times, the New York Times said that he had left in 2018, but I don't know if he's online right now. I don't know.
And to be quite honest, you might be right.
This morning. I don't know anything. Like I said, I don't know anything about it, but just knowing tangentially, like knowing someone, if that's even the right term, just knowing kind of a guy and, you know, respecting him enough to have him be part of my show once a week for a couple of years and, you know, spending a lot of money and reading his stuff and really enjoying it. It's odd how that has turned into something that now is the main talking point coming out of a presidential debate. And not a good one. So
if you're Fred Perry, do you just like abandon that logo and design a brand new one of some sort?
Well, no, the logo is the logo. At least they've only co-opted the two colors, the one shirt. But it was a dope shirt, but they've co-opted the one shirt.
And you happen to have the one that's the same color.
No, I threw it away.
But that was the one that you had had. It was
They made many different color shirts. The shirts are probably $80, and I probably have 12 Fred Perry polos. And in hats and everything. Fred Perry's my favorite designer. Yeah. So I love it. I refuse to stop wearing Fred Perry. I just threw away the one that they've co-opted, so...
They're coming after Oshkosh B'gosh next.
I wish they would. I don't
Buster
own
any, Brown.
I don't own anything that's Oshkosh B'gosh. But I mean, if you Google image Fred Perry, I mean, you'll see like black guys and like black and white guys in the late 70s, early 80s, all wearing sporting Fred Perry's and all this stuff. But you know.
The next generation's going to be wearing Garanimals. It's going to be the ultimate clothing for the white supremacists.
Well, again, I don't own any Garanimals and never spent any money in Garanimals, and they wouldn't be co-opting something that was the antithesis of what the message they're trying to spread is. It was just like Nazis go and ruin everything and ruin punk shows and ruin everything. That stupid Nazis have to go ruin Fred Perry now. Ugh. And old Fred, oh, you're concerned about your shirts. It's the symbolism, stupid. It's not the money, you idiots. It's something that I've enjoyed that now is being co-opted by something that's deplorable. All right, very good. Well, I got to tell you, I had trouble sleeping last night. And usually I would have drank during the presidential debate, and that would have been nice. But unfortunately, that's not in the cards anymore. Yeah. Nor is any kind of sedative, so it's not good. Not good. Not good. Not funny. Not funny at all. Not one funny thing out of that. Not one. I was waiting for something funny. It was funny 4 years ago, and then it got real not funny. All right. It was as bad as it could have been. It was as bad as it could have been.
Agreed.
I was thinking that we would at least get some audio and it would be like kind of funny, even though it's sad in a way, but it would be kind of funny. And then it was just awful.
I do only have audio of one thing that's worth playing, and that was the reaction afterwards. That was pretty funny.
I mean, out of context, I guess. I mean, I'll play it. I have no problem playing it. It exists. But I was looking for anything that would be kind of I thought it would be, you know, wild and everything. And I thought it would be so wild that it would be kind of like there'd be some stuff to poke fun of in a way that would be cute.
But it wasn't cuteness from last night, and it would be so lame
and pussy to like come out here and go.
Bruins Luchador just tweeted said you have to switch to Vineyard Vines. There's no hate in that whale's heart.
Yeah. Then I'll have to kick my own ass. All right, Rich, we got sports on the way. Fear not, everyone who's freaking out, if I imagine.
I don't mean to depress you even more, but yesterday Sam Kennedy and Chaim Bloom sat down and talked about the state of the Red Sox.
I was sent that video by guys on the show, and I'm like, why am I going to watch this?
It's yelling into the ether.
Now, this is something that is a disaster that you can laugh at because, I mean, they've got no clue. They got no clue how they sounded and how they came across yesterday.
Yes, indeed. All right. Very good. We will be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
In Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The French Open going on right now. Going on right now. You got Wawrinka, but they don't have the seeds next to him. How is he unseeded? He was a champ, let alone a couple of years ago.
Back when we were younger, Freddie Von Lennel was number one for a decade. All these guys gave all they could to the game, didn't get burned out. You know what I'm saying? And now everybody's up, everybody's down. You don't know who's number one anymore. You know what I'm saying?
But Wawrinka won a championship.
He's a Grand Slam champ. That's true.
That's right. All right, well, everyone's watching the French Open, Rich, but nonetheless, what else is going on?
Well, if the Red Sox season ended, but there was no one watching it in the first place, did it really happen?
A huge thank you to Ron Renicki. Obviously, Haim and BOH informed Ron of our decision to not offer him a contract to manage next year. But I just want to take a minute to thank him for everything he did this season. He's a great person and really appreciate all of his efforts. And I want to thank him from the bottom of my heart. Yeah. So thank you, Ron, for what you did.
They fired him before his final thank you game. Very much for throwing yourself on that grenade we rolled into the room. Well, thank you for watching over a team that had no chance of winning. Hey, congratulations, Papa Ron. You made it.
Yeah, but listen, that's not a bad gig for the guy. He got to say, now he can say he managed a major league team. He didn't have to do nothing.
No, it's, yeah.
Yeah, you just you sat there. No one cared. It was a BS season, and you sat there, and you didn't have to do nothing.
Well, that was Red Sox president Sam Kennedy and GM Chaim Bloom doing their end-of-season postmortem on a season that ended for the fourth time in 9 seasons in last place in the American League East. So amidst a poor record and dismal ratings, Kennedy and Bloom were asked about fans' complete lack of interest in the team this season.
To me, relevancy speaks to competitiveness. And we need to be competitive year in and year out.
Yep,
so am I worried about not being competitive? Yes, very worried. We're here to win championships. We won our fifth ring, and we're going to do everything we can this offseason, next year, into 22, and beyond.
No one would have cared if they were competitive.
What he didn't say was we didn't do anything to try and be competitive this year.
By the way, they were smart not to be competitive this year. This year is a wash. The money is the money. I mean, they got the TV money anyway. There was no gate that they had to worry about. This year was the year to tank.
It's different. I put it this way. I would agree with you if it wasn't for them getting rid of Mookie Betts.
It's a year you don't have to pay him, and you weren't going to win anything anyway. I think that they were smart. And by the way, the only reason I turned on baseball yesterday is because I heard someone had a perfect game through 6.
Giolito, yeah.
And then as soon as I turned it on, he gave up a base hit.
But so he tuned in the 7th inning.
I mean, people laugh about the Red Sox, and I just think that's an instinct to because it's cute to do now, but it was the year for no one to care. It was a good year not to pay Mookie.
Do you think that's what the ownership looked at and said, you know what?
I don't.
This
it doesn't
is the
matter.
Year not to care.
It doesn't matter.
That's why people are upset. Those that care.
But no one's upset.
I am.
Okay, you. But okay, fine. I shouldn't have said no one. That was an exaggeration. Very few people are upset. There was nothing to play for this year. It's a crap season. Lord knows what's going to come out in the wash. Did you see the games last night? New York beat Cleveland 12-3. I mean, that series is a joke. I mean, it doesn't matter. The best team's not going to win the World Series. The season's is a disgrace. The Cardinals didn't play for 15 days. Well, I mean, and they made the playoffs. And their seed's okay.
Marlins, too.
And so, yeah, the Marlins made the play. The Marlins made deals at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
San Diego's in.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a nonsense season.
White Sox, San Diego, the Marlins. To me, because I'm a baseball fan, I will watch because you have teams in there that wouldn't ordinarily be in there and are good stories.
You will watch, but you're not. It's not like you watch the Celtics or like you watch football on Sundays.
No.
Right.
But I care. I care more this year than in previous years because I'm curious to see if these guys, these teams, which otherwise wouldn't get a chance, go far.
Okay, I'm a Cardinal fan, and the season was such a joke that I really have trouble caring.
Cardinals didn't play for 2 weeks because of COVID stuff.
But it worked out.
And they still made it, yes.
They're the 5 seed, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, all I heard was they weren't going to make the playoffs until like 3 days ago, and then all of a sudden they're the 5 seed.
They're in. Yep.
So Lord knows I don't understand the playoff rankings. I don't understand how those were done, but... There you
have it. Top two teams in each division plus the next two best records.
And by the way, the best pitcher in the American League got shelled yesterday.
Bieber.
So,
yep. Bieber got beat up by the Yankees. Yep.
Yeah. So in the Yankees, who would team lost 7 in a row at points in this season.
Yeah, they came on strong at the end, though. They got everybody healthy and came on strong.
Right. Yes. But what I'm saying is the season's is nonsense. 7-inning games, it's just a joke. So good for the Red Sox. This was the year to do it.
Yes, in the end, it worked out the way you said, but that wasn't their intention at the beginning.
But by the way, then when you got Dombrowski, what was the intention? This was ultimately what was going to happen.
Now, that's a better point. The Red Sox could have looked at his track record. It would have taken 5 seconds, and every team he's left goes through something like the Red Sox are going through now.
They should thank God for COVID because it bought him a year. A bottom of year is sucking, and the joke is no one cares. And if I'm the Red Sox, this was a year not to care. Good, don't look at us. I don't care if you buy a ticket. I don't care if you buy an $85 beer. I don't care what you do because you're not in my building. So go screw. The TV money's in my pocket. Go screw.
Oh boy,
we don't have Mookie. I didn't have to pay him. Did pay him for what? Pay him for what? Sliding in the 8 seed and getting killed. This is a year that they're all losing money. And by the way, you've said it yourself. You know, they got this TV deal. Do you know when this deal's up? The collective bargaining is up. That the owners are going to cry poor and they're going to see COVID bankrupt them.
The owners just got over almost $4 billion from Turner.
Yes.
For their next TV contract, which extends well beyond the end of this CBA. And the owners are going to come to the bargaining table in a year from now and said, we lost a crap load of money. We're poor.
Yes.
And what the union's going to do is look at it and go, you just got paid billions of dollars by your net TV network partners. You're full of crap. And because of that, and the owners now taking this as an opportunity to crush the union, we're not going to have baseball in 2 years.
Yep. And it didn't break us.
Owners are going to lock the players out. We saw it with the NHL 15 years ago. The owners are going to lock the players out, and baseball will be dead.
Yep. And what they're going to say is, listen, we can handle not having fans. We can handle not having the product. And they'll say we did it during COVID.
Yeah, because the players ultimately can only go so long without money. And the owners can go much longer without money because they had a lot more to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When we get back,
all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Kennedy and Heim Bloom were asked about whether or not they were going to raise ticket prices next season. And Shaughnessy. Attack of the Shaughnessy. Sick him.
Good for him. Shaughnessy.
It was great.
I can't wait.
I'll wait. I'll obey the clock.
I want to hear this again.
Because I'll tell you. Go ahead and raise them. No, ain't no one around here going.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll be right back. Just me. I'm the big star. No, we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is this like the Who? You can always tell if it's the Who.
I don't know who this is.
I don't think this is the Who.
No, I'm being told it's the Who.
Really?
Well, I was kind of agreeing with you because it sounded like the Who. Sorry.
There is I had a lot of time on my hands for a while in the summer, and so I was just on Amazon looking for books to buy, and I bought... Oh, this is Saturday, by the way.
Saturday night's all right for fighting?
Yeah. And there was a Keith Moon autobiography. Oh, that's going to be great. Like, Keith Moon, 600 pages. So I was just like, I'll start reading it, and it gets into it. It starts with his great grandparents and how the economic system of like the late 1800s affected the town he grew up in.
Oh, geez.
And you're just like, what? There's no one I care that much about. I don't care that much about my own family.
Actually, the Springsteen biography starts the same way.
Well, the Springsteen biography I heard is terrible.
Here's a rule. Take every rock autobiography and just chop off the first third of it and throw it away and then start there. It's all exposition of crap that we don't want to know anything about.
I agree.
Start it one third of the way in and you got a great book. Just chop it right off.
You might. I mean, you better have had done that? Okay, I'll tell you the two things. I don't mean to interrupt. By the way, Halford's... biography got in the mail yesterday. Rob Halford.
That's going to be great.
Oh, it's called Confess. He's talking about his childhood, and it's not interesting. But, yeah, there's two rules. A, unless your childhood is extremely effed up, don't talk about it. And B, I don't care about how your albums were made. Because ultimately, I want to hear about the glitz and glamour. I want to hear about the nights where you woke up with the needle in your arm. That's what I
like
want to hear
dirty
about.
Stuff. I like the albums. Matter of fact, I watched the other night this documentary on the making of Dark Side of the Moon. And
I've seen
it. Best thing I've watched in like a month.
Documentary's different because there's the gear and the sounds and everything else.
Like how they made these things, who the guys' voices were.
I saw one about the Who that was very interesting about how Townsend, when they were making the Bob O'Reilly, how he had all these wires and had to make the noises in a certain way. Yeah, that's interesting. In book form, it's terrible. Like the
that's a good point.
The most frustrating biography I've read of a musician within the last 5 years was definitely the book about Tom Petty, because it was written by essentially, and it was with his, it was a biography, but it was with the endorsement of Tom Petty. He participated in the writing of it, but it wasn't an autobiography. And it was by a guy that was in a band that toured with them. And it was just, and then you don't understand on this record, this was such a powerful thing. Screw you. Get to the heroin. And then the heroin lasted like 3 pages. And you're like, the dude started a heroin addiction in his 50s. Come on, let's hear it. Come on, boy. Write about the heroin.
Get to the heroin.
Get to the heroin. Yeah. Oh, that's the book. Get to the heroin.
It's most rock star biographies. Get to the heroin.
Yeah, and ironically, the Heroin Diaries by Nikki Sixx was a really dumb guy trying to sound smart. So there you go. Nothing's like the Bobby Blotzer tomb. Or the recently read Sebastian Bach biography.
Oh, man. Savage Animal.
So he's not as dumb as you think, but he's, I can imagine, very annoying. Very annoying. All right, Rich, go ahead. Back to the world of sports. I don't mean to regale you with my tales of
my eighth grade reading style. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, listen, it's anything to save us from the depressing press conference that came out of Fenway yesterday. But to be honest, it was fairly entertaining because just in how brazen some of the answers were. Another head-scratching decision that the team made this year was, we talked about this, moving the starting pitch back almost 30 minutes to 7:30. They were asked whether that is something they would reconsider. And then the kicker, remember when I said the team would probably still raise prices after this disaster of a season?
I think that was a given, Rich.
Well, they were asked about both yesterday.
No decisions yet on ticket prices. In terms of start times, I can tell you that we will not have 7:30 start times. Start times will be earlier than that. Our traditional start time, 7:10, I think, we'll have an announcement on that.
Okay, hang on. They wouldn't commit to not raising prices. Okay.
Yeah, because they're going to float out like eight trial balloons, and oh, they don't like it. Oh,
they trade away Mookie Betts. They have one of the most expensive parks to buy a beer and a crap product, and they're still considering raising prices.
I told you this would happen. Okay. I told both of you this would happen.
Here's the deal, and I'll break it down for you how this is fantastic to the average fan, is that when the season starts, they're ultimately going to have fans, I believe. Okay? In some way, shape, or form.
Everyone goes at the beginning. Everyone goes to opening day.
No.
That
no,
kind of thing?
No. Just shut up and let me talk. They're gonna have... please, John. My Lord. No, in that the coronavirus, I think that they'll be at a point where they'll have at least some fans. Now, feel free to chime in, but as you know, for baby boomers, there is nothing of a status symbol quite like having Red Sox season tickets. How many people have told you, I have Red Sox season tickets?
Many.
Like older people.
And I share them, and I've split them with eight of my friends because it's too expensive for me, but I have to sell them all off. I have eight home games. I choose them, yes.
Well, they're a status symbol. That I have been told that by numerous people. These people are not going to set foot in that ballpark. Absolutely not. New England these baby boomers in New England are not going to feel comfortable going out at all. So, those dumbasses raise the ticket prices, those idiots that with the season tickets aren't going to get rid of them. And I will swoop in and I will buy $80 tickets for $1. So, good. Raise the stupid ticket prices, you jackasses, because no one's going to pay face value. Because everyone with season tickets isn't going to go to the games. So there you go. So, John, you should be excited because you can live it up. No one is going to those games. None of those season ticket holders are going to games.
Good. Maybe they'll learn something.
I hope they do learn something.
Maybe they will finally learn something. I mean, the product was awful. It's not going to get – they're not going to go and win a title next year. I mean, the only way they're competitive is that if they hit on everything. If they somehow find bullpen pieces, if Sale comes back completely healthy.
They're not going to be.
If Eduardo Rodriguez comes back, who is not walking, by the way, comes back completely healthy, then they have a shot to contend for the playoffs. But you have J.D. Martinez. I mean, we could go through the litany of this. The point is, this team is not going to be much more relevant than it is now next year.
No, they're going to be bad. But I will be – I mark my words now. I will go to 10 games – and I will not have spent $200 on tickets.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Because I'll go to whatever secondary ticket seller there is, and I'll buy $5 tickets for $80 seats.
I just thought of a bad way of looking at this. If the Red Sox, all the baby boomers keep their season tickets and don't go, that's fine with the Red Sox. The money's spent. They sold the tickets. Short term.
I can't predict what. Listen, there could be a new virus.
No, but the Red Sox. We're talking about two different things.
Yeah, I know.
The Red Sox will say, you know what? We still sold the seats. We must be doing something right. When in reality, they continue to turn their fan base off.
Well, if they
those who can't afford whatever the price is going to be for bleacher seats next year, $45, $50, whatever
sell
it
the
is,
bleacher seats because you'd have to be a moron to buy bleacher seats because you'll be able to get good tickets for no money. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be bad for everybody, except for people that will go to the park, which are going to be younger families, which are going to be, business people that are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s.
People who are in from Kenosha. Oh, we have to go to Fenway.
Yes.
Have to go. That's something we have to do if we go to Boston.
Right. And you'll be able to buy tickets for $2. So I will go to 10 games, and I will not spend $200 on tickets. And Lord knows, if I don't go with my family, I'll probably spend 5 cents there. I can't even stupid drink anymore.
Well, not surprisingly, neither John Henry nor Tom Werner were anywhere to be found, with Henry himself not speaking to the press since February, and Sam Kennedy was asked if the owners even watched the games this season.
How many Red Sox games did John Henry see in person? I don't know the answer to that question, but not many. There was not many of us were at the ballpark night in and night out. I assume most of them were watched on television by everyone in our ownership group.
That's such a great question.
He couldn't be in the box enough when they were good. Oh, he was standing next to he had a whole box to himself. He was there every night. Camera flashed to him and Harpo sitting side by side. Look at him. Go Red Sox. Yeah, of course he didn't show up. Of course he wasn't at games. Of course none of them were at games. It was awful. They couldn't stand to watch their own ball club play because you couldn't identify three quarters of the guys wearing your uniform. There were guys they picked up off the street that were panhandling for dimes. You want to pitch tonight? Here's a glove, a hat, and a uniform. Go get them.
And what was great, too, is that after that, good old Dan Shaughnessy cracked his knuckles and asked where the hell John Henry and Tom Werner have been and why haven't they spoken to the press since February?
John Henry and Tom Werner, their sort of media relations schedule and accessibility to the media is determined by them. And so it's really not for me to set a schedule or an agenda.
Ask them, jackass. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Yeah. I don't know what their deal is. Yeah, should be talking to you, but they haven't.
This is the only time they got to talk to anybody. They didn't lose anything, and they're going to sit there and be fine.
They lost Mookie Betts.
Henry couldn't meet the media enough when they were good.
They shouldn't have Mookie Betts on the team. They wouldn't have won with Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts got $365 million in his pocket he's about to get. They don't need that. They're in no position to win. They had Dombrowski. They got the championship, and that's it. We knew this was happening. We all knew. I'm no expert. I said it. All you have to look at his track record. He mortgages the future to win now. But that's okay. They won a championship. I don't get this whole vitriol against the Red Sox. They won their championships. They mortgaged the future, and now they're going to have to
build it back.
But
Dombrowski did not have to the Eovaldi contract, the Sale contract.
On this part, Fred's right. This is what Dombrowski does. He just goes, extends everyone out to obscene contracts, guts the farm system, and disappears.
But they had already screwed up.
This time he won. He didn't win with the Tigers, who, by the way, are just coming out of their tailspin now. He did win with the Marlins. He didn't win with the Tigers, but it was the same philosophy all the way through. Fred said this day one when Dombrowski was hired, that this was going to happen. He was right. This is what has happened. The Red Sox have a farm system that is badly in need of help. They have no pitching at the moment. They have a lot of terrible contracts that they can't get out from under. This is what Dombrowski does. Congratulations. You got your World Series.
Yes.
You made the deal. This is the back end of it.
Yep.
But after that, they continued to make bad deals. If you're going to do this, you have to be man enough to face the media and say, this is my team, we didn't win, we're going to try and get better, and field questions. That's one thing I don't like. Werner and Henry hiding like this. I mean, you're out front and center, you're waving your flag, you're sitting in the front row, you're up in the box.
Let's go Red Sox.
Yeah, that silence you hear are fans turning their backs and walking away from the ballpark. Afterwards, if you are front and center and you can't do enough interviews when your team is winning 95 games and going deep in the playoffs and winning World Series, you damn sure should be fielding questions when they're this bad, too.
Fair enough. That's a good point. Good. I agree with you. You changed my mind. They should. You're right. But as for the carnage and the bad contracts, and yes, they didn't have to re-sign Chris Sale. I thought that was dumb. They kind of had to sign Eovaldi. I think we both agree on that.
After that performance in game four.
And they had no other options. Yeah. I don't know what else they were going to do, but you got your championship. And now the repercussions are you're going to have to find ways to replenish your farm system because you need homegrown talent, and I just don't know where that's going to come from.
What's going on? Are they on fire?
Yeah, that's your organization that's currently on fire.
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly what you're looking at.
But it's not anything you couldn't have seen it coming. I mean, it was coming, and Mookie Betts was not going to help this. And to pay a guy $365 million to be on a team that sucks. What did he sign? It was 12 years, $365 million.
Yes, with the Dodgers. Yes.
So 12 years, $365 million. So you're going to suck for 3-4 of those years, and then you're going to have to pay him on the back end of that.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that relies on athleticism, and you're going to have to pay a little guy who can't get the ball out of the infield anymore.
What's really funny is that Dombrowski, considering the model that you've seen from him with three organizations now, the Angels just fired their GM.
They're going to hire him.
They're going to hire him, but here's the problem. The Angels already have 3 or 4 mammoth contracts. They have a crappy farm system. This usually happens when Dombrowski leaves, when he shows up.
He's the worst. I thought the same thing. He's the absolute worst guy for that job, and because they already did it. Yeah. Remember when they signed Pujols to like $5 trillion?
Trout and Pujols is going to make $30 million next year, and they have no pitching and no farm system.
No, and so Dombrowski,
Dave, come on in.
Yeah, because I could have, any of us could have been the general manager of this team with this ability to spend the kind of money that they spend and what they
got an owner who wants to spend. Moreno will spend as much money as possible.
Well, the last GM screwed it all up.
Yeah.
A lot of bad contracts. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling.com. Helplinema.org.